Hello, everyone. happy Thursday. And welcome to the NTI discussion group. We're starting tonight where we left off last time, which is NTI Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to start with verse 12, which is on page 19, a little over halfway down the page. And there's fewer people here tonight than usual, so we'll see how that goes. It's a little more challenging having a discussion group when there aren't as many voices in the room, so we'll see. Glenn says, I know. You had the same experience, huh, Glenn? Where do you think everybody is? Are we missing a party or something? He says he noticed too. So I don't know where everybody is. They're usually here, and tonight they're not. But oh, Glenn says it's beautiful there, so maybe they're having great weather in places, right, and people are outside. Yeah. Oh, and Bernie is live on TV, so maybe people like the guy running for president.
Oh, okay.
So who knows? Igor just popped in the room, and Kathy's here, and Hank's here, and Heidi, and Jim, and Dove, and of course Glenn, and Lynn. So we'll see how things go. But tell you what, since we have such a small group today, why don't I start us off by reading first, and then we'll go from there and see if we can get other people to read as well. So as I mentioned, we are on page 19 of NTI, NTI Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So I will read this section. Therefore, it says, so it concludes from the previous thought. So tell you what, let me start, even though we're really supposed to start with verse 12, why don't I go ahead and jump back to verse 9 and kind of refresh our memory of where we left off last time we were together. So I'll start at verse 9. Trust your Father to give as you ask truly. But know it is the healthy heart He listens to. If your heart is sick and it asks the Father to grant it its sickness, the Father does not listen. He waits until His Son asks that He be healed. And then the Father reveals His gifts, that they may be used for the purpose they were intended. For the Father will not assist the Son in maintaining His sickness, but the Father will point the willing Son in the direction of His health, that He may be made whole through His own willingness. So now starting with verse 12. Therefore, see your brothers as yourself. Know that their heart is the same as yours. Although they may seem to ask for sickness, their heart knows it wants its health. So do not answer their cry for sickness by returning anger for anger or hurt for hurt. Answer their heart's quiet cry for health by giving as the Father would give. Give health for health, and it is health you will receive. So that's a pretty awesome paragraph. At least I think it is. Does anyone else want to comment on this paragraph before I do? Welcome, Nancy. All right, so let me share then about this paragraph. What I see in this paragraph is that it's training our eyes. That's the word I'm going to use, eyes. It's training our eyes. You know, it is, I remember when I was a new course student and I wanted people to be right-minded. Again, the course talked a lot about seeing the Christ in your brother or seeing the Holy Spirit in your brother. And I wanted people to be right-minded so that I could see the Christ in them or the Holy Spirit in them. And instead, they were just their normal ego selves. when people were angry and jealous and stressed and you know, all kinds of things, right? And I couldn't see the Christ or the Holy Spirit in anyone. I could only see the ego. And what this is doing is training our eyes to see what you might call the Christ or the Holy Spirit, even when somebody is acting completely, 100% from their ego in the moment, which is how most people in the world are, right? They don't know any better, right? Like Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. They don't know any better, so they're acting from ego all of the time. And so what this is pointing out, and again, just like A Course in Miracles uses the symbol of the split mind, NTI uses the symbol of the split heart. And I think that heart probably represents, in this case, desire. So you have desires for the world. You have desires for people to like you. You have desires to have power and money. You have desires, you know, for things you want in the future, right? But then you also have the desire for truth, which might not yet be consciously recognized. The way it's maybe consciously recognized in someone who hasn't awakened to the desire yet is what we would call the desire for happiness, the desire for contentment, the desire for peace, right? And so this is the split heart. It's the part of the heart that desires in the world and for the me, and then the part of the heart that is really calling us to start being more focused on awakening. So the split heart. And what this paragraph is pointing out is that all of your brothers have the same split heart that you have, which means, sure, they've got that ego split. You know, sure, they want what they want in the ego way. But that other part of them that wants peace, that wants happiness that cannot be, happiness that is constant and forever, you know, and really ultimately awakening, they want that too. And so what we are to do when we look at our brother or sister who is acting from the ego is to recognize that quiet. You know, they may be yelling at us, the ego may be very loud, but to recognize that quiet desire for truth, happiness, peace, and keep focused on that. And then what this paragraph asks us to do is to give as the Father would give. The Father, if somebody is angry and yelling at the Father does not yell back. The Father is, you know, patient, kind, loving, forgiving. These are ideas that we would apply to the Father. And so we are to imitate the Father and be the same way. And that way we are responding to their right heart as opposed to their wrong heart. Or NTI calls it the healthy heart as opposed to the sick heart. Now, Igor has made a post from A Course in Miracles, which is the exact same idea. This is what he has posted. Perceive in sickness, but another call for love, and offer your brother what he believes he cannot offer himself. Whatever the sickness, there is but one remedy. You will be made whole as you make whole. By the way, NTI ends with the same thing. Give health for health, and it is health you will receive, right? The exact same idea. You will be made whole as you make whole. For to perceive in sickness the appeal for health, same word, is to recognize in hatred the call for love. And to give a brother what he really wants is to offer it unto yourself, for your Father wills you to know your brother as yourself. So that's the exact same idea from A Course in Miracles text, chapter 12, section 2. Does anybody else want to share on paragraph 12 before we move on to verses 13 and 14? And welcome, Doreen, and Before the World Was. I don't know who you are, Before the World Was. I don't remember seeing you before, but welcome. All right, then we are ready to move on to verses 13 and 14, which is at the bottom of page 19 in NTI. Is there anybody here who would like to read verses 13 and 14? All right, Kathy, the mic is yours.
I ask you for your help because leaders are needed among men. Oh, no, wait a minute.
That's right.
Did you say 13 and 14? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I ask you for your help because leaders are needed among men. For a man who does not know that his hurt yearns to be healed is lost indeed and needs someone to help him see that health is his heart's desire. Let yourself be healed, that your brother may see your health and recognize it is but his own. Then he will ask for healing, and it will be given him. I just got through reading a couple of hours ago in A Course in Miracles with a couple of friends joined with them, and same kind of thing in the section called The Idols of Sickness, The God of Sickness. There was a paragraph that said, to much like Igor had posted, to believe that a son of God can be sick is to believe that part of God can suffer. Love cannot suffer because it cannot attack. The remembrance of love therefore brings invulnerability with it. Do not side with sickness in the presence of a son of God, even if he believes in it. For your acceptance of God in him acknowledges the love of God he has forgotten. Your recognition of him as part of God reminds him of the truth about himself, which he is denying. Would you strengthen his denial of God and thus lose sight of yourself? Or would you remind him of his wholeness and remember your Creator with him? Same kind of thing. And then Jesus is saying to us back in NTI, he's asking for our help, saying that he does need leaders among men, those of us that will stand up and use empathy in a proper sense in whatever form of sickness might be in front of us. And then goes on to say, for a man who doesn't know that his heart yearns to be healed is lost indeed and needs someone to help him see that health is his heart's desire. And so how do we do that? We do that by letting ourselves be healed so that our brother can recognize, you know, that within us and claim it for his own. Oftentimes when people, I've had experiences where people have literally said, you know, what is it that you are studying, or what is, you know, how did you, you know, come to know what you're telling me? And they may have no conscious interest or understanding or, you know, knowledge of any kind of spiritual path, but when Spirit speaks through me and in that way that someone else recognizes, it's always interesting to me when they ask me that question, because oftentimes I'm not even aware that's the impression they're getting. I just feel called to share whatever I feel called to share. And then they mirror it back to me. And that's how it strengthens it in me as well as them. They see something in me that I'm sure there must be an inkling within them that this is what they desire. This is what they truly want. They're asking for healing. And as, you know, teachers of God, as students of God, we offer that. So that's my commentary and my reading. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Your sharing is deeply appreciated. And Igor, the mic is yours.
Igor is in Russia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, guys. Thank you for giving me the mic. Really nice to be with you. So yeah, this first sentence, I ask you for your help, because leaders are needed among men. I ask you for your help because leaders are needed among men, right? And so, how do we actually do it? How do we answer someone's call for love? This is the question. This is the good question, right? Okay, I agree, those insane people, like terrorists, like politicians, like my relatives. I take it that they ask for help, for love, maybe even. But how do I give them love? Because in chapter 29, introduction, excuse me, Regina, again, for giving Course in Miracles quotes in your NTI study group, but I can't help it. But in chapter 29, introduction, he says that actually we, our love is he. Thank you, Regina, you're very kind. Our love is he. Yeah. Those who hate, he says, those who hate are afraid of love. And therefore, they do not know what love means. They fear to love and love to hate. And so they think that love is fearful and that hate is love. Those who hate. Now I'm sure they hate. I hate everyone constantly. So I know what love means. Definitely. I recently watched a video on YouTube when random people on the streets were asked one simple question. What is love? It was amazing. They nobody couldn't answer this question. It was so funny. Yeah. Can give you a link if you want. And even in the introduction to the text, the very beginning, Jesus says, this course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. Okay? So what is love? How do we actually answer this call for love when we perceive it in others? How do we remind them about their healthiness? How do we overlook their insanity, their sickness? In workbook lesson 186, at the very end, Jesus says, forgiveness is an earthly form of love. And again, this first sentence in NTI, I ask you for your help because leaders are needed among men. And here he says, forgiveness is an earthly form of love. Salvation of the world depends on you who can forgive. Such is your function here. Such is your function here. Well, how many people, how many times say, oh, what is my destiny? Oh, what should I do? Where should I go? You know, my career, what is it? Oh, right? Such is your function here. So simple. Forgiveness. And just take this example, like a mother has a son who acts insanely, who is capricious, who is taking drugs, who is acting insanely, and his mother forgives him and still loves him, still cares about him, still, you know, appreciates him. She believes in him. This makes my heart melt, because this really is forgiveness. This is really an earthly form of love. When we forgive, we express earthly form of love. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much, Igor. And Doreen, the mic is yours. Whoops. There she goes.
Hi, everyone. This particular paragraph brings to mind what I experienced in my conscious dance practice. And for those of you who don't know what conscious dance is, for me, it's a spiritual practice where you dancing with a group of people and you really allow yourself to be guided, to be moved by Holy Spirit, and it can be very healing. What I witnessed over the several years that I've been a part of this practice is that when someone really gives themselves over to the dance, like they come in with what they have for that particular day, an emotional issue, joy or pain, if they just fully give themselves over to the dance and allow themselves to be guided in that dance, it is a healing for the entire room. And I think that's what Holy Spirit is talking about in this paragraph when he says we need leaders. Leaders, I believe, is to be a leader in this situation is to do whatever is necessary to heal yourself. And when you heal yourself, when you're focused on healing yourself and other people are witnessing the process that you are going through in healing yourself, it is a gift to them. And it's like, when you do what is necessary for your own healing, you give other people permission to heal themselves because you open up that space. And you're not, in your own healing, you're not focusing on other people's healing, you're focusing on your own. But because you are, it creates this energy where people feel it's okay for them to step in the same space that you are. So I think that's what this paragraph is about and what Holy Spirit is trying to let us know and really what that true understanding of what a leader is in this situation. So I think sometimes people might get this confused, like they have to lead someone and not focus on themselves first.
Yeah.
So letting go.
Yeah, thank you, Doreen. And Kathy is commenting that she danced with you in Colorado, and of course I did too. We all had fun dancing at the fall retreat. but yeah, I agree with what everyone is saying, that in order to be this leader, first of all, I think it's really sweet that Holy Spirit is saying, I ask you for your help. I mean, that's really sweet. I don't know, maybe there are some people who can't feel that pull when Holy Spirit says, I ask you for your help, but I'm not one of those people. When Holy Spirit says, I ask you for your help, I'm just pulled into the sweetness of that request. You know, so I ask you for your help. But then goes on to very clearly say in this paragraph that the way we become helpful is by letting ourselves be healed. And so it is an invitation for us to focus on ourselves first, even though it says, I ask you for your help because leaders are needed among men. It's asking for us to allow ourselves to be healed. And then it says that, once we are healed, our brothers will see that in us. And they will seek it for themselves. It doesn't even say here that we ever have to teach at all, that we ever have to, convince someone else to read the course or read NTI or anything else. It doesn't say that. It's just saying that through our presence, through our peace, through our joy, through our freedom, other people will see that. They'll recognize the contrast between their own experience and they will start seeking it. And I remember when I first started the spiritual path, I was a director of a training department in a medical corporation in the Boston area. And I'd worked there for about 9 years. And I knew all of the directors, of course, very well because we all worked together on different teams. And after 9 years, I kind of had enough of a history with every one of them that there was some kind of a grievance with every single person. And I was a fairly new course student. I remember as a fairly new course student sitting there and looking around the table and thinking, you know, I don't like any of these people. And then I realized that this was a huge forgiveness opportunity for me. But I didn't focus on forgiving them. I focused on forgiving me. I focused on looking with root cause inquiry to find out what was being brought up in me when I had different conflicts with different people. And I also did one other thing, to be honest. In addition to practicing root cause inquiry and looking at me through journaling, I did one other thing. I did decide to start having lunch with each of these people one at a time and getting to know them as a person, because I really only knew them as in a business way. And so every week I invited a different director to go to lunch with me, and I would sit down and just have a personal conversation. So I was doing both things at once, getting to know them and forgiving me. And in the process, I guess I began to change. Because what started to happen was people started coming up to me and saying things like, wow, Regina, you're so much happier, or you're so peaceful, or what's going on with you? I really notice a change with you. And people started scheduling private 101s with me in my office so that I could talk to them about what was causing this change in me. And this was before NTI was born, so at that time I was studying the course. And I would sit in the office with all these other people, you know, one at a time, and teach them about the course because they came and asked. I wasn't out there proselytizing, but they were asking. They wanted to know what was creating this change. And I ended up being guided to leave that job and move to North Carolina, and that was, of course, so that I could write NTI. But I remember when I left, and we had this, they had this going away party for me. And by the way, this is only 9 months after I sat there and looked around that table and thought, I don't like any of these people. 9 months later, when I was leaving, I looked around at the going away party, all these people, thought, oh my God, I just love all of these people. And I had these, you know, I was happy to be following guidance and going to North Carolina, but you know, there was that sweet sadness of saying goodbye to people that you love very much. All in just 1 9-month period. But in that 9-month period, I was working very aggressively on myself, on my own healing. So that means that we are now ready for verses 15 to 20, unless anybody else has anything to say on 13 and 14. All right, now verses 15 to 20 is two paragraphs. Is there anybody here that would like to read those verses? All right, Nancy, the mic is yours.
Thank you. And hi, everybody. Okay, verses 15 to 20. Concentrate first on your healing, that you may be used to lead your brothers to health. For an unhealed heart cannot lead its brothers to healing, for it knows not what health is. The sick must be healed before they can heal. The lost must be found before they can lead. Be not confused by those who say they can lead you, when you can see that they are lost. Hold not a grievance against them. Remember that a sick brother does not know he is sick. Forgive him his confusion and pray to your Father that your sight may be made clear. Well, that is great advice. And I love, you know, the paragraph before and then this one as well, saying concentrate first on your own healing. The Holy Spirit asking us for our help because leaders are needed. I heard it like, you know, step up. Hi, Kathy. I heard it like, you know, step up, you know, lead you know, you first. It's like, I was at Byron Katie's school about 10 years ago, and at the end of the 9-day school, one of her talks was about, you know, on the last day as we were going home, and everybody had this incredible experience with being immersed in the work and very excited about the work. And the one thing that she kind of admonished or warned everybody about was going home and saying, you should do the work on that. You need to do a worksheet on that. And she says, if you go home and say that, you're the one who needs to do a worksheet. And it was really, I thought it was great that she said that, because it kind of put it all in perspective, and to help remember that me first, you know. She used to say, you know, the advice that you're giving your friends, you know, why, since it's so easy to do, why don't you do it first? Because it is so easy to think I see what my brother should be doing or how he should be acting, when really I just need to look at my own thoughts about what I see in front of me. And this encouragement to concentrate first on your healing is so you will experience it, so you will know. So it's much, much different of a sense after you've experienced even a little honest and genuine healing, that there's no substitute for it, and there's no way to just talk about it, because it comes from such a genuine and natural part that it's unmistakable. And that's what I want. I don't want to just give a speech about forgiveness. And this unhealed heart that Spirit is talking about, of course, it reminds me, I'm sure it reminds you too as well, Igor, about the unhealed healer in the Course. And an unhealed healer is one that has not received. He can't give because he hasn't received. And so that reception of forgiveness, of healing, it flows over every hidden thought. Well, I guess the thoughts aren't so hidden, but those, the thoughts are brought up that were previously hidden, like, I don't deserve this healing. I'm afraid that I don't deserve it, and so I cannot look too deeply. But that will never do. That will never do for Spirit, because I feel that Spirit would not have me feel that I was different and that I was somehow less worthy than another. I will never be left with that misperception. And so as long as it takes, you know, for me to step up for myself, to lead myself, and even in that sense of willingness to receive what is so freely given, and then having received, to be transformed by that grace, and that makes all the difference in the world. If anyone would be talked to, or even listened to, or even just to be silent, you know, in the presence, it's way different. All right, thank you.
Thank you. And when you were telling the Byron Katie story, I loved the right-minded interpretation of me first. You know, because you usually think of me first as shoving somebody else out of the way and grabbing the cookies. But yeah, me first. I need to heal me first. That's a wonderful right-minded interpretation. And Igor, the mic is yours.
Thank you. And yes, Nancy, totally agree with you. Concentrate first on your healing, this paragraph from NJ. Concentrate first on your healing. For a non-healed healer cannot lead its brothers. Huh, its brothers. This is very interesting. Oh, excuse me, unhealed heart. Oh, yeah. For an unhealed heart cannot lead its brothers to healing. And in the course, by the way, there is a whole section in chapter 9, I guess, unhealed healer. Jesus talks about it, unhealed healers. And another quote from workbook lesson 169, where he says, we urge you to bear witness to the word of God, to hasten the experience of truth and speed its advent into every mind that recognizes truth's effects on you. Yeah? So actually Jesus really asks us to be showcases, right? Just be examples of the fact that genuine forgiveness practice really works, and it transforms everything about us. So by practicing, applying genuine forgiveness, expressing this earthly form of love to each and every call for love that we perceive in our experiences, right? By making this practice constant, it really works. It really makes huge differences. And it changes us, changes our mood, it changes our appearance even, you know, our mindset, what we think, what we talk, and stuff like that. And by perceiving that, other minds can join, can follow. I've seen this very awesome video when a man, he advertises vacuumers, okay? Vacuumers, you know, for cleaning, right? And he goes into a subway, cleans some space, you know, square foot maybe, with his vacuumer, and then he takes fries, I guess he had fries, he puts his fries to the floor on the space he had just cleaned. He puts ketchup there, and he takes, you know, he starts eating this fries from the floor. And even he takes a piece of bread and smear the ketchup from the floor and eats it, you know. And then and all of the people are totally disgusted at looking at this. They, oh my God, what's happening? But then this guy stands up and says, I am this and that, and I 100% stand behind this product. Something like that, you know. This is an advertiser. Huge, great advertiser, you know. When you look at this and say, wow, I want this. You see? And the same thing with spiritual healing, with spirituality, with enlightenment. As we move closer to to enlightenment, basically, or to healing, total healing of ourselves, other minds, they see it, they recognize it, and they say, I want it. Shut up and take my money. I want this. Tell me how to do this. You see? By the way, here is the link for this funny video if you want to watch it. Okay, so yeah, just showcases by practicing. Okay, thank you. I dropped the mic.
Thank you, Igor, and thanks for sharing that funny commercial. And Doreen, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Igor. I'm really appreciating your knowledge of A Course in Miracles as we move through this. There's a sentence in this one. I'm going to say that it was a sentence that triggered me. Trigger might be a strong word, word, but I can't think of what the word is. But that sentence is, the sick must be healed before they can heal. And what I wrote in my journal was, is anyone ever healed? Because when I read that sentence, I was like, you know, I know I still have healing to do. And at what point would I say that I'm healed to the extent that I could be, could support someone else in healing? So anyway, I didn't take the time to contemplate it, but it was just a question. And I would love any insight anybody might have about that if you're willing to share. But that one sentence made me question if anyone is ever healed. And if we are, at what point does healing happen? Or do we say we are healed? So letting go. Oh, and Igor, thank you for bringing up the point about the unhealed healer in ACIM. I'm going to go take a look at that. Letting go.
Yeah, Doreen, I think I might have some insight into your question. Is anybody ever healed? And the answer is kind of funny, so bear with me. So, no, the ego is never healed. The ego just kind of fades away and fades away until it disappears or dies. So in that way, no one is ever healed because the ego is never healed. You can't have a healed ego. And the healed mind already exists in every one of us, complete and whole right now. So what that really means is that I would say enough healing needs to occur that whatever, if you're going to be put in a role, let's say a role of coaching others or a role of teaching, you know, I'm in the role of teacher more than the role of coach. When you get into that role, enough healing has to occur that you can be in that role from the spontaneous right mind instead of from your learned ego. And you don't have to be what I would call completely healed, which means ego has to be completely disappeared for that to happen. But there does come a point, you know, at the beginning, probably every one of us, if we were to start right off teaching, we would be teaching from our learned ego. And I think some people actually can even be studying something like A Course in Miracles or something else for many, many years and are still teaching from their learned ego. They haven't done enough healing to open up the space to allow the spontaneous healed mind, which is already here, to be the one that does the teaching or that does the coaching. But that's what needs to happen. And if you're very, very discerning, you can notice within yourself which one you are coming from, because the unhealed mind, the ego teacher or the ego coach, plans. It thinks in advance about what it's going to say. It looks back at what it says and says, oh, maybe I could have said this better. It never surprises you. That's maybe even the biggest one. It never surprises you because it's coming from what you already know. So it never surprises you. When you learn to come from the spontaneous healed mind that already exists within, or you clear up enough space that you can let that mind come forth, it often surprises you. You will hear yourself say things that are so incredibly profound, so incredibly brilliant, and you never had that thought before. Like you're teaching yourself. You're hearing it come through you. So, yeah, that's what needs to happen. You need to get to the point where you can teach from the healed mind that already exists within you rather than teaching from the unhealed mind. But it's already there. So there doesn't have to be 100% healing for that to happen. Larry, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. I just got back in from shopping and bringing home groceries on my, 16 speed bike. It's a lot of fun putting the groceries away and listening to you guys on NTI. And an interesting topic, you know, is reminding me of the topic that we discussed this week. Who is teaching who? Who is teaching who? You know, and what is teaching? Well, you know, in a summary, to teach is to demonstrate. To teach is to live your life authentically and I would add listening to Holy Spirit until your will is clearly one with God's. And in that state of mind, you don't see brothers as problems. You don't say, hey, that brother is acting out really badly, and I'm going to correct them. You don't see error. And Jesus describes this in Jesus' vision has one law. The law is he never sees a brother as only a body. He sees the light. And that light never dims, no matter what stories are. And it reminds me of one of Cindy Teven's quotes, which I'll paste. The only way you can help someone is if you know they are already perfect. In other words, you're no longer judging. To say someone is acting out, you've got to be thinking separation, dualistic thinking, because that someone is you. And that's part of the beautiful paradox of non-duality. Letting go. Thank you.
Yeah, Larry.
Oops. Sorry, so how does this experiment work through sexual intercourse? Oops. Please, anybody give me a reasonable answer.
Let's
thank
see,
you.
Where's the red dot? Oops. That was somebody who's not one of us, just, you know. Hey, Nico, I put the red dot on you because, as I mentioned, we're in the NTI study group right now. And so the only reason for taking the mic is because you have NTI with you and you're studying NTI with us. We're recording this and that's just, we want to stay on topic. So what I've done is put the red dot on you. But you're invited to stay and listen if you'd like to. Okay, so, Larry, what you just said reminded me very much of what Nancy said earlier. I don't remember if you were here when Nancy said it, but she was talking about at the Byron Katie group how someone might say to another person, oh, you need to do a worksheet on that. And I think it was Byron Katie said, you know what, if you're telling somebody else, oh, you need to do a worksheet on that, that means you need to do a worksheet on that, right? And that's kind of always been my theory. My theory is everyone else is allowed to be exactly as they are. And if I am triggered by them, then I need to go and look at myself. And also I mentioned earlier that when I was back at my previous company in the Boston area that I looked around the table and realized I didn't like any of my peers. And so I realized there was a forgiveness opportunity here. But I went about forgiving myself. And when I use the word forgiving, what I really mean is looking for false thoughts and letting those go, learning to disbelieve false thoughts. But I didn't try to forgive them, you know, in the old-fashioned way. So nor did I ask any of them to change one iota. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Everybody is exactly as they are, perfect. There's nothing to be changed in anyone else. And if I can't accept that, then that's an opportunity for me to go and look within myself. Also, there's a second paragraph here that we haven't talked about a lot, and so I think I just want to comment on that. The second paragraph says, be not confused by those who say they can lead you when you can see that they are lost. In fact, my friend Norma is here, and I think, Norma, you're the one that gave me that book, A Secret India?
Yeah.
I love that book. And what's the name of the guy who wrote it?
Remember? Brunton.
Paul Brunton. Yes, Paul Brunton wrote a book called A Secret India.
A Search in Secret India.
Here it is, A Search in Secret India. And the reason I love this book is Paul Brunton goes to India, and he meets all of these teachers, all of these different spiritual teachers, and he has this discernment that is out of this world. He can tell immediately if that teacher is what you could call a delay or distraction, or whether that teacher is someone who can really point him toward truth. And he doesn't judge against the teachers that are delays and distractions, but he doesn't waste his time there either. And I think that's very, very important. In fact, today I've been reading Michael Langford's newest book, which is his autobiography. And one of the points he makes over and over in that book is that not all spiritual teachings are direct paths. And that, you know, most spiritual teachings, in fact, are really there just to help the ego continue. And so what NTI is saying here is the same thing. It's not saying in that same language that most spiritual paths are actually here to help the ego continue, but it is kind of pointing towards that same discernment, because it says, be not confused by those who say they can lead you when you can see that they are lost. In other words, you need that discernment within you to know the difference between something that is truly helpful, something that is pointing you towards truth, and something that isn't. And you need to be able to walk away from something that isn't, but again, not making the mistake of judging. It says, hold not a grievance against them. Remember that a sick brother does not know he is sick. You know, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. But we're being asked really early on in NTI to use that discernment. And I do notice that sometimes people don't have that discernment. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, it's all good. You know, there's truth in all of it. One of the interesting things about the MPP program is we do take people through a couple of things that have what I would call both right-minded teachings and wrong-minded teachings in the same book. And I really looked at this because a part of me was saying, you know, you should only give people right-minded teachings. But then the other part of me said, if I only give people right-minded teachings, how can they learn to discern between the two? And so a part of what we do in NTI, or sorry, in MPP, is a couple of the courses that we have are a mixture of right-minded teachings and wrong-minded teachings. And the people who are going through the program, and remember, they're preparing to be ministers, are asked to discern. To discern which of these teachings are truly helpful, which of these teachings point to truth, which of these teachings are distractions, right? And again, you gently put the distraction aside, but you don't waste your time there. So that was also here in this paragraph. I think it's important for all of us to remember. And we only have 4 minutes left, so I don't think we'll move on to the next section. We wouldn't be able to get through it. Now 3 minutes left. I won't be here next week. Let's see, Sharon, you're in the room, I think. I believe you're the official admin on Thursday nights. Are you able to play audios, Sharon? Because if you are, I can just send you a Regina Dawn Akers audio to play. Okay, I will send you an audio to play during this time slot next Thursday night, because I will be at the Course in Miracles conference in Las Vegas and not available to teach. So let's see, we have a few minutes left. Is there anything anybody wants to share again before I maybe put on a song or something, just for us to kind of end up with? Oh, Sharon, I will send you an audio. I will send you an audio and you can play it. So I'll send it to you via email. Yes, I am presenting at the Course in Miracles conference. Oh, yes. And Lynn's getting us ready, because what's coming up next is the daily contemplation. And today's daily contemplation will be the Jeff Foster quote she has just posted. But I notice Kathy has her hand up. Yep, Kathy, you can take our last 2 minutes. The mic is yours.
I don't know that I'll need 2 minutes to say this, but I was thinking what a prime opportunity to actually use discernment for anybody that happens to be going to Las Vegas with the number of teachers that are presenting and having the opportunity to, you know, practice what we have been learning about discernment. And also exactly what this particular paragraph is sharing with us that we just finished reading. Because that was the piece that actually jumped out at me as well. I know that I have certainly had to admit that I've had judgment around A Course in Miracles teachers over the last 25 years, having been to many, many, many conferences and whatnot, and have had to go within and forgive. That's the deal. So at any rate, that's what I was thinking, though, when you shared you were leaving for Vegas, because, it can be a prime thing for practice. Releasing the mic, and thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kathy. And, of course, the challenge for some people is the discernment, knowing the difference between a truth teaching and a non-truth teaching, just another delay or distraction. For other people, they can tell the difference, but the challenge is not judging the non-truth teacher. It seems like all of us have something to work on there, so it's good to be aware of that lesson. And I am going to release the mic. I am going to take the red dot off of Nico. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Larry, and then I will be leaving the room because I'm actually on retreat right now, so I won't be hanging around tonight. Everyone, have a wonderful week. Bye.